Good morning, Nachum. Good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Tomorrow we have the privilege of reading Parshas Vayeshev. Whoa! This is one of those parshios that does not get easier from year to year. It's one of those most challenging parshios, such as why Yaakov favors one son, for which he's criticized in the Gemara Shabbos, teaching parents to be especially careful in their raising of children, why Yaakov sends Yosef to find the brothers, even though he had to have some premonition, why Yosef doesn't take bodyguards with him. We can go on and on with all the questions, but I think that in order to appreciate Parshas Vayeshev, and please God, I hope we'll come back to this, is with the clear understanding of that which we say every morning in our Psuke de Zimra, Rabos Machshavos Blevish, many are the thoughts and designs of man, but Vatzas Hashem, the will of God, He Sokum, this prevails. God controls history. And let's go back to chapter 15 in Bereishis, verse 13, where Hashem is speaking to Avram, and he's saying to Avram, Yodoa Teda, this you must know. This is built into nature, irrefutable, namely, that Ger Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, your children are going to be strangers in a land which is not theirs, and they're going to be persecuted, and they'll be there for a total of 400 years, and then they will go out with great wealth. Now, we know this came true. Yaakov, therefore, must get down to Mitzrayim. The only question is, how is he going to get there? So, let me just tell you, Rashi tells us that when Yaakov sends Yosef, he ayishlocheihu me'emek Chevron. Literally, he sends him from the valley of Chevron. So what does that mean? Rashi tells you that it's to fulfill to the one buried in Chevron, namely Avram Avinu, what God had prophesied. So the idea is Yaakov could have come down to Mitzrayim in so many different ways, and if necessary, says the Midrash, even in chains, he has to get there. How he gets there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu designs a most circumlocutious way, which to us is most challenging. But I will tell you right now that there's a Midrash, Shir HaShirim, on the Pasuk Gan Na'ul Achusi Kala, that when Yosef was able to withstand the temptation and pass the test with his master's wife who tried to seduce him, the Midrash says that Yosef not only showed his righteousness, but he literally placed into the DNA of his descendants the ability for the Jew to maintain their morality in Mitzrayim. And so think about it. In Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah lists the families of the Jewish people of the various tribes, and each family is preceded with the He and the Yud, namely, that God is testifying that I can attest to the authenticity, integrity, purity of the Jewish family in Mitzrayim. The He at the beginning, the Yud at the end is God's name, and God is saying, so therefore, each of the families reads to the family of Malkiel, Mishpachas HaMalkieli, the He and the Yud, and so it is with all of them. Let's not forget that this coming Wednesday night is Hanukkah, Habo Aleinu Letova, and I'd like just to briefly review some of the laws of Hanukkah with you, if I can, and then to once again wrap up with this idea of Rabos Machshavos, and this is what Hanukkah is all about. Starting this Wednesday night, based upon the Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the rabbis taught us that which miracle are we observing? And really the famous question of why is Hanukkah 8 days if there was enough oil, as we're taught in the Braisa, to last for 1 day? It should be literally 7 days that it burned miraculously. Many answers are given, but one answer is that on the 25th of Kislev, we celebrate the miraculous victory of the war. If you see the Rashi in Zos HaBracha, Baruch Hashem Chelo, Rashi says that Moshe was mispalel for Levi, meaning for the Chashmonoim, and he saw that they weren't simply outnumbers. Rabim biad ma'atim, literally tens of thousands against 13. Amazing, amazing, incredible. So either the first day for the military victory and 7 days for the miracle, or as the Talmud says, that on the 25th of Kislev, they came into the Beis HaMikdash, and as a result of the fact that the Greeks had timu kol hashmanim, they contaminated all the oil. Now this is very interesting. Contaminated means that they were looking to uproot tuma and tara, something which they couldn't understand. That was the whole idea. What man could understand, taught Aristotle, that's wisdom. And what man can't understand, that's not. And therefore, they couldn't understand the concept of purity and impurity, so they intentionally made impure all the oil. And therefore, when Malchus Chashmonoi defeated the Greeks and they found one flask of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and as we know, Nase Bones, a miracle occurred, and they lit from it for 8 days. And next year, the Talmud says, they established this as Yomim Tovim, right? Not that there's an Iser Malacha, we're permitted to work, but in Hallel and Hoda'a. With Hallel, the recitation of Hallel, of gratitude to Hashem, and Hoda'a, thanksgiving. This is the recitation of Hallel, and Al Hanisim that we recite, both in Shmone Esrei and in the Birkas HaMazon. Okay, now, and so what did they prohibit? They prohibited on Hanukkah not to have a eulogy and not to fast during the 8 days of Hanukkah, even if somebody has a yahrzeit. Now, who is obligated to light Ner Hanukkah? Men, women, and children. Now this is very, very interesting. From the time the children are able to understand, we educate them to light their Hanukkah. The Talmud teaches us that women are obligated in their Hanukkah because they too were included in the miracle. Either the decree was against them not to observe Judaism, if they would renounce Shabbos, circumcision, and Kashrus, then nothing was, and Jewish holidays, nothing was done to them. So therefore, women too were included in the miracle. Or no, the woman, in this case here, Yehudis, help bring about the miracle by decapitating the Greek officer and beginning a war when she brings his head to her father. Something special about Ner Chanukah is that we always have in all mitzvahs the concept of Hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah means to beautify a mitzvah. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma 9a teaches that Hidur mitzvah is up to a third more. So for example, if a person can get an esrog for $30 and there's a nicer one up to $40, so halacha says that you would go up to $40, that you're obligated to enhance the mitzvah. Okay, but Ner Chanukah is an exception because after all, the second night already, we lit one the first night and two the second night. We are doubling. So Ner Chanukah has three stages. It has, number one, the mitzvah, one candle per night, which is very important to know, that if someone is in a difficult situation and they only have one candle, they can recite first night even three brachos, and any night, once has recited the Shekhiyon already, any night one can fulfill the mitzvah with one candle. Ideally, we follow that the mitzvah is lighting one candle per household. Second layer of mahadrin is to light each night in accordance with the number of people in the household. Four in the house, you'd light four each night. And then the third opinion is the one that we follow, which is on the first night you light one, and the subsequent nights we follow Beis Hillel, that we are Mosif V'Holich, that we add each one, each night another light, representing the night of Chanukah. Okay, now the important thing to know is that regarding Ner Chanukah, there's a difference of opinion if the mitzvah is on the individual or the mitzvah is on the home. And therefore, if a person has lit in the home, so if, for example, a husband is, quote, stuck in the city and will not be getting home, his wife can light candles for him. Now, what is the proper time to light Ner Chanukah? And the answer for that is that the Talmud says with Shkia. Now the Shkia mean the beginning of sunset, which is what the Rambam learns, or does it mean the end of sunset, or Tseis HaKochavim, which would be approximately a little after 5 o'clock in the evening, this time of the year, a little after that would be probably the 5:10, the best time to light Ner Chanukah. But whenever one lights, it must stay lit for at least a half an hour. So be especially careful with the colored candles, because the colored candles oftentimes, especially if there are many, might not last the full half hour. If it doesn't, then it's a major problem, because it has to burn at least half an hour. Now, if they go out in the middle, from the letter of the law, as long as they could have burned for a half hour, you don't have to relight them. You don't have to, but we do, but you would relight them without a bracha. Now, there's a very important basic point, and that is, why? Why do we have this idea that by Hanukkah there are three levels? The mitzvah, the mahadrin, those who are careful, and mahadrin min mahadrin, those who are most careful. We don't find that by other mitzvahs, that you have different levels. And one answer might very well be the difference between Hanukkah and Purim. Namely, that Purim is a mitzvah to have a seuda. There's an obligation to have a seuda, right? But on Hanukkah, no such obligation exists. It's wonderful that family and friends get together on Hanukkah, and by incorporating in the meal Zemiros and Divrei Torah, one can, should, elevate their, quote, party into a Seudas Mitzvah. But what's the reason for this? The reason is that Purim was a threat against the Jewish body. Lo aleinu, Haman wanted to kill and eradicate all the Jews physically. When it comes to Hanukkah, it was a spiritual threat against the Jewish people, and therefore we celebrate in a spiritual fashion, which is that the recitation of tefillos, the lighting of candles, and that's why there is no obligation to have a seuda on Hanukkah. Now, interestingly, the Bach writes at the beginning of the laws of Hanukkah, why did we lose the Beis HaMikdash? Because Nisrashlu Ba'avodasan. They became, unfortunately, weak in their observance, especially in the Beis HaMikdash. They took it for granted. It became second nature to them. But now that we got it back, we appreciated it, and therefore want to fulfill the mitzvah in the best way possible. And especially as the Pnei Yehoshua points out, from the letter of the law, we could have used contaminated oil, tuma hutra betzibur. The answer is no. We only wanted to do it in the best way possible, and therefore Hashem responded in kind to us. Okay, now, when we light the menorah, so with the menorah facing you, you put the lights in from right to left, and you light them from left to right, as was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, interestingly, the manner in which we light has a strong correlation to the Beis HaMikdash. Namely, that in the Beis HaMikdash, as we are taught in the Talmud, there was a daily miracle of Hanukkah. What does that mean? It means that every evening when they lit their Hanukkah, when they lit the candles of the menorah, every evening they put in the same amount of oil, and it all in all seven lamps, but the middle one, the Ner Emtzoi, Ner Ma'aravi, there they put the same amount, and miraculously, it burned till the next evening when they extinguished it. So this is Eidus Heli Yisrael. This is literally testimony for the Jewish nation that God was residing in their midst. And that might be a reason why the miracle here too occurred with oil. This miracle came back to them. Now, once again, time to light, as we mentioned, is with Shk to the Rambam, And in Yerushalayim, many are following the Gra as well, who says with sunset. However, the Shulchan Aruch says the proper time is with Tzeis HaKol Chavim, which would be a little bit more than a half an hour this time of the year after the beginning of sunset. Okay. Now, there is the concept of Pirsumei Nisa, which means that we should place the menorah in a way that people outside can see. If one lives in a situation where his menorah will not be seen on the outside, then they should definitely light it on the inside where people of the household can see it. Okay? The first night we recite three brachos, namely, Lahadlik Ner, and interesting, the Lamed form, as opposed to Al Mikra Megillah, it's Lahadlik Ner, because the Rambam says we are emulating the biblical mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Mikdash. Whoa, and that's why we say after the lighting and the three brachos, Haneros Halalu Kodesh. The second bracha is She'asa Nisim, that God performs miracles by Yamim Ahim in yesteryear, Bazman Hazeh, which means not only at this season, winter time, but literally nowadays. And we are privileged to see daily miracles, even though we are still going through a hard time in Eretz Yisrael. All the soldiers can tell you that mamash, they were privileged to see Nisim and Niflaos. Okay, when one has said the brachos, the first night we say a Shechiyonu. If one didn't say the Shechiyonu the first night, they can continue to say it throughout Hanukkah. And after one has lit the candles, after he's lit the first one, so he, as he lights the others, he can, should recite Haneros Halalu Kodeshim, that these candles literally have a sense of sanctity. Okay, now, there are many other laws, including that ideally one should light where they're sleeping. If you're visiting somebody, so don't light in their home if you're coming home, but rather you'll light later on. Either set up the menorah or leave yourself a note to do that. But given today that one can have people passing by almost throughout the night, therefore one can light even much later on in the night, you know, something which we never had, you know, before. Okay, I am just going to close with the idea with which we began. Rabos machshavos b'levish, many are the desires of man, Baratzas Hashem Yisokum, the will of God prevails. And therefore, what we have clearly is that the Syrians and Greeks wanted to uproot the spiritual identity of the Jew, but we know that Atzas Hashem Yisokum, the will of God prevails, and as the Torah promises us, in Parshas Vayelech, Ki lo sishachach mipi zaro, Torah will never be forgotten by the Jewish people. Therefore, we are celebrating not just the miracles of yesteryear, but the great miracle of the survival of the Jewish people. There are special laws for Shabbos Hanukkah, which, please God, we'll do next week. I take this opportunity to wish Nachum and his family, all our listeners, and all of Klal Yisrael a very meaningful Simcha Dik Chanukah, and we should be zocheh to continue to see Yeshuos v'nechamos throughout Klal Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom to all.